From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A massive peaceful protest of thousands of Palestinians called the Great March of Return ended in blood and death on Friday. More than 100 Israeli snipers gathered near the border where marchers congregated and shot into crowds, killing at least 15 people and as many as 18. So indiscriminate was the firing that more than 700 people were reported to have been injured by live rounds. Videos have emerged of protesters being shot in the back while fleeing and of being shot while on the ground praying. Israel has also released videos of some protesters throwing rocks at their soldiers as an attempt to justify the violence. Authorities have claimed that Hamas and other groups were planning on using the protests as cover for attacks on Israel. But the United Nations Security Council on Saturday attempted to call for an independent inquiry into the incident when the U.S. promptly blocked the statement. 2 million residents of Gaza have remained in a virtual prison for years with Israel's ongoing blockade of the region. My guest is Amani Al-Hindi Barakat, chair of Al-Auda Palestine Right to Return Coalition. Welcome to the program, Amani.
Thank you, Sonali, for having me.
So first, as far as you can understand what happened, what was the protest about to begin with? It was Friday was what's called Land Day, this great march of return. So what were people there to do and what happened?
Yes, people of Gaza have been organizing, thousands of them, almost 30,000 people have been organizing for this march, they refer to as March of Return. And it's going to be about 6 weeks long, starting on March 30th to commemorate the 42 year of Land Day. And it was going to continue on until Nakba Day, which is in March 15th, and basically they are
May 15th, right?
I'm sorry, May 15th. Yes, correct. And they're going to be basically they called it the March of Return. They're asking to for their right to return to their homes and land of origin, and also to protest their situation, their hard life in Gaza, and they want to basically, they're asking for their rights and better life. And it was a peaceful protest. It was kind of inspired by what Gandhi did. You know, they thought we can get together and go to the border and protest the harsh conditions in Gaza and ask for the right to return to their homes and lands of origin.
And then Israeli soldiers opened fire. They, I'm assuming, are claiming that they were hit with rocks from the Gaza side and they simply returned fire?
My understanding in the very beginning, there was not even rocks hitting. They basically they went to the borders and there was orders from the Israel military to actually use live ammunition to basically shoot on these protesters for absolutely no reason. Even if you are met with rocks, that's not how you do. These people have every right to protest. They are in their land. They are within their rights, and Israel is just committing an illegal act, and it's a crime in every sense.
I want to play for our TV audience some disturbing footage that has emerged. The videos of there was at least one video of showing a man being killed in the back. And just a warning, this is disturbing footage. A man being being shot while running. It's not clear if he died, actually. He's shot in the back there while he's running. He's carrying a tire, so he's literally fleeing. Another man, while praying, shot in the leg. So a number of men on the ground praying, and a man is shot in the leg. Just these two videos alone, Amani, suggest what might be considered criminal under international law.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, no doubt. It's absurd in every sense, and it's so inhumane. And what kind of message does that give to the people when they are protesting peacefully and they're met with this type of criminality? It's just absurd.
So, what has happened now to the marchers? There was a lot of infrastructure put into place, a lot of organizing that happened. As you said, this was to be a 6 week protest, a massive sit-in, essentially, as you said, an attempt to, in the vein of the sort of Gandhian nonviolent civil disobedience, an attempt for Palestinians to peacefully express their protest at being penned in into a giant prison. When Palestinians react with the violence of rocks, they are condemned. When they react peacefully, they are condemned. So what is the status right now of the 6 week protest?
I mean, this is, it's got everybody worried, no doubt. Human rights organizations are not quiet, and they're actually voicing their opinion about how upsetting this is. I mean, there's call to investigate, and like you said, hopefully it will happen. I mean, if this was the first day and we see this kind of casualty, imagine what is the death toll will be by the end of these 6 weeks. This is the largest death toll since 2014, since the last aggression on Gaza from Israel. So it's pretty worrisome for all of us. I communicate with some of the people there. Their spirit is high, and they are very determined to let the world know enough is enough.
Now, Israel has, of course, claimed that all the men who were killed were militants, but over the age of 18. I don't know how their snipers could determine that from far off, and how their snipers singled out men over the age of 18 from militant organizations in a crowd, even if one accepted extrajudicial assassination was ethically correct. But I understand ho reports from the hospitals in Gaza have found that dozens of those who were treated for injuries were children, some quite young, as far as you can tell, were children injured.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this is again the propaganda of Israel, and they have to justify this unjustifiable crime. But definitely, there was all kind of people were injured: elders, journalists, children as young as 16-year-olds, women, elder women. You name it. You know, this is it's just unacceptable, and for them to feel like they can actually do this while these people are in Palestinian land is just beyond me.
Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, according to the New York Times, received 284 injured people on Friday, the majority with bullet injuries,
Right.
and 70 were under 70 out of those 284 were under the age of 18. So that's pretty remarkable.
Yes, it is.
So
Yeah, this is.
the how big was the gathering? Because just, had there not been this violence, the gathering itself would have been dramatically worthy of media coverage. It is quite
Absolutely.
remarkable that such a large gathering would have taken place for, for this issue. Can you comment on how important, how significant it was?
I think it's pretty significant coming from Gaza, knowing the harsh conditions they live under, knowing how brutal Israel has been specifically dealing with the people of Gaza. But I was told on Friday there were at least 20,000 people. The organizers said that they had commit,
20,000. Wow.
yeah, the 18 to 20,000. And I was told by one of the organizers that they had a commitment of almost 30,000 to be basically coming throughout this 6 weeks march. So it's a significant number, and all of us would have been anticipating and worried about something like this happening, you know. But it's just hard to fathom that they would do something like this to peaceful protesters. It's just really sad.
And of course, I understand the snipers were standing behind a very well-fortified fence. They had brought bulldozers to dig trenches so that there were big mounds of dirt protecting them. So you had these hugely protected, very well-armed, and flak jacket-wearing soldiers from behind a fence firing into an unarmed crowd of thousands of people, among them families.
Right. It's insane.
So, what next? I mean, when Israel has launched wars into Gaza in the past, you've had some independent reports that have been commissioned that have determined, massive violations of international law. Not that those reports have necessarily deterred Israel, but at least it's an ongoing documentation of the violation of crimes. Do you expect some sort of independent report or documentation to emerge from this incident too?
I really hope so. I mean, it's not like there is no lack of reports
Right.
from human rights organizations talking about the harsh living environment that exists in Gaza. I mean, we have the UN report that actually deemed Gaza inhabitable in 2020, which is right around the corner. And this is enough to get everybody's attention and want to make. Listen to this type of cry from the people who are living under these harsh conditions. And also to really understand the brutality of this occupation that we are dealing with. If they are meeting peaceful resistance with this type of violence, what does that do? When people wants to resist this type of occupation, it's every right. I mean, it's their every right. When people are occupied, resistance is definitely justified. And this is here, they're resisting in a peaceful form and they're met with this type of brutality. It's just unacceptable. And the people need to stand up. And we all need to voice our concerns in regards to these harsh treatment and the harsh living conditions that the people live under in Gaza. And it's about time that we take some real steps to break the siege on Gaza and let the people live like the rest of the world.
The spokesperson for the Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF, said that soldiers, the snipers, faced a quote, violent terrorist demonstration at six points along the fence. I mean, essentially, that statement suggests that all of the 20 or maybe 30,000 that were gathered there were considered terrorist. I mean, if one has that opinion of such a large mass of people, one essentially is dehumanizing an entire people. And another spokesperson also said that what they really fear is, he said, I don't know, an ex-general, rather, a former IDF general, told the Times of Israel, I don't know what the IDF could do if 300,000 Gazans were to try to breach or trample the Gaza fence. How much of this reaction you think is rooted in the Israeli fear of what they have done to Gaza? When you oppress a people long enough, you have to fear that they will fight back or that they will resist in some way or form with whatever they have.
Absolutely, Sonali. As a matter of fact, I was reading yesterday, and I'm not sure the article where, but basically they were quoting Lieberman saying that
Avigdor Lieberman.
that they deserve to be shot in live ammunition. If they are going to protest, they deserve to be shot. I mean, this is the reality of where they come from. They definitely don't look at the people of Gaza or Palestinians in general as equal as they are. This is where we have a big problem with this situation. People talk about the fact that it was a clash. It's not a clash. Clash when you have two
Right.
people, two people fighting with the same thing. Here you have peaceful protesters. Even if you have some people that were throwing rocks, does not justify you shooting them with live ammunition. You have people actually were shot going back toward the protesters against the line where they're standing. They were still shot. People were praying, doing nothing. I mean, praying, my God, and they were also shot. So I don't know what, I mean, they can say all they say. The fact speaks for itself. So this is the reality that we're dealing with. And I think really it's about time that we start calling it as we see it. You know, it's very unequal. It's a very inhumane situation, and Israel need to be punished for these crimes.
Again, going back to what Avigdor Lieberman, the Israeli foreign defense minister, said, he said that not only would Israel refuse to participate into any investigation of the assault, but that Israel could potentially have an even harsher military response. I'm wondering, finally, if you think that that reaction is a kind of impunity that has arisen from Israel, knowing that the U.S., particularly under Trump, but even under previous presidents, has always had its back, judging by the U.S. blocking of the U.N. statement to investigate the assault. So basically, with the U.S. backing Israel, Israel can do whatever it wants, including go even further than it already did.
Right. I mean, I think, honestly, under this sad administration right now, I mean, the hope of the U.S. taking any stand to even agreeing to participating in some sort of investigation is, to me, is not there, you know, and it's a hopeless situation. I think it's the only thing that's going to happen if we have enough people here in the United States that actually press their representatives and their government to actually make a difference. You know, I don't count at all on our government the way it is right now, sadly, but I think there is enough people around in the world that have been talking about this. And I think this issue has come in the forefront, especially Gaza and the harsh situations that the people live under and this humanitarian crisis that we're facing, that I think it's enough to get everybody's attention. And thanks to you and to journalists like you who actually shed light on these issues, because I mean, I honestly don't watch much of mainstream television reporting, but I read, and I think all I saw is like few reports on what happened. It's pretty sad, you know. Like
right.
You said, it was a large amount of people that actually participated in this non-violent protest. You would think that would get the attention of those who actually advocate for human rights and what have you, and hardly. I mean, it's only a few human rights organizations like Adala, B'Tselem, and some of the Palestinian organizations that actually issued statement on this particular incident.
Well, Amani, you were mentioning earlier contacting representatives here in the United States. I just want to briefly mention that one of the only people who is an elected official here in the U.S. to have mentioned anything about anything that was actually accurate was Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, a Jewish American politician, former presidential candidate, who said the killing of Palestinian demonstrators by Israeli forces in Gaza is tragic. He posted this on Twitter. He said it is the right of all people to protest for a better future without a violent response. I was impressed by that.
Yes, me too. Yeah. Likewise. I think God bless him, you know. I think I don't know if anybody's going to take what he says seriously, but I know a lot of people are listening, and I'm really hoping that we will mobilize here to change this sad reality of our government and take a stand on a just cause like what's happening right now in Gaza.
Amani, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Is there a website you'd like to give out?
Sure, www.alauda.org. And actually, if I may, we are hosting our 13th annual conference this coming May 11th and the 12th in Los Angeles area. So check out the updates on our website.
We'll post a link to that site later today. Thanks so much, Amani.
Thank you, Sonali. Thank you.
Amani Al-Hindi Barakat is chair of the Alauda Palestine Right to Return Coalition. We've been discussing the Israeli attack on Gaza and Gaza's protesters. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find out more about us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo. Thank you so much, Amani.